Hello, and welcome to the Mission Inspire podcast, a production of the National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation. I am delighted to announce that we are now presented by Lucas Oil, a founding partner of the Museum Foundation. We are just 1 year out from the grand opening of the National Medal of Honor Museum in Arlington, Texas. Over the next 12 months, we will be spotlighting some of the recipients who will be featured in the museum's galleries, starting with a guest that will be familiar to listeners, Major General Pat Brady. General Brady is one of the most decorated helicopter pilots of the Vietnam War, who earned the medal for making repeated landings into enemy territory under heavy fire and amidst dense fog to rescue wounded soldiers. He now serves as a member of the Museum Foundation's Board of Directors and has been essential to the museum's creation. General, welcome back to the Mission Inspire podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today. When we had you on the podcast as part of our Courage Conversation series, we focused on your military career and the Medal of Honor action. Today, as we mark 1 year out from the opening of the National Medal of Honor Museum, I want to talk to you about your involvement with the Museum Foundation. So how did you first become involved with the project?
Well, we've been trying, those of us in the Medal of Honor Society have been trying for at least 50 years to get a land-based museum. I'm not sure if I told you this story before, but the Medal of Honor Society, it's a veterans organization, and we have conventions every year. And when I went to the first convention many, many years ago, all we did was party. That was it. And so when you party with guys like Commando Kelly, Scooter Burke, Pappy Boyington, I mean, those are world-class partiers. So we would leave our conventions with not much more than a hangover. And then 1 year we went to Philadelphia, and the mayor of Philadelphia asked us if we would go on a midnight march with him through the ghettos of Philadelphia. So we did. And then the next morning we went into a school and we had to go through a metal detector. Now you got to understand, we're young soldiers, we're on military post camps and stations across the world. We're not exposed too much to what's going on in the neighborhoods and the schools of America. And so we came out of that and we thought, you know, we got to leave these conventions, we got to leave something behind. We can't leave these conventions with hangover. So we started a character development program to go using the medal as a symbol of courage, sacrifice, and patriotism. We started going to schools and places across America to bring this program to people. And at the same time, our headquarters was on an aircraft carrier in New York, later moved to an aircraft carrier in South Carolina. No room on an aircraft carrier. Yeah. So we formed a foundation, a world-class foundation, and PERPS began to plan for a land-based museum where we could put our stuff. I mean, in those days, we had some really famous guys like Jimmy Doolittle and Joe Foss and people like that, and they sent me, in fact, to go out and talk. I went to the Smithsonian to talk to them about space. Now, they would take our stuff, but we'd lose control of it. They would decide when to show it. Then we formed a foundation to build a museum. And it went on for a long time until finally the Jones family stepped in. Yep. And we got some really high quality people in charge of that foundation. And then things began to happen.
Yeah.
And the concept of the museum is different than most museums. It will cover everything that any museum covers, from the Civil War to the present. We're talking about branches of service, wars, etc. But it will focus on the values side of valor. Very, very important. The medal does not make us special, but it certainly makes us beholding to the people who made it possible for us, who stood by us with the action that happened, the American people, everything. We're beholding. Now, the medal does allow us to do some special things because of the access it gets us. But the most special thing we've done so far is this museum.
I love that. So you talked about the museum and having this land-based and a substitute for the hangover, which is a great substitute for the hangover. We're about 1 year out from grand opening. How are you feeling about all of it?
Well, after 50 years, it's finally going to happen. And we're confident. We can see it coming out of the ground. It's an incredible piece of architecture. Mm-hmm. I mean, it will. The most beautiful thing about it, veterans, people like us, are what we are because we wanted to serve. Mm-hmm. Now, we're all going to die. Thankfully, hopefully, there will not be any more Medal of Honor recipients ever.
Yep.
There'll be no wars, no reason to have a recipient. Yep. So, but this museum will allow us to continue to serve long after we're all dead.
I love that.
And so that's the beautiful part of it.
Yeah, that long-lasting legacy. And again, that valor, the value side of valor, I think, is a really important
Both have the same stem, I think.
Yep.
But valor is finite. Values are infinite. Heroism is only interesting in as much as it's inspirational. Otherwise, it's of no use. All of us at some point in our life have met someone, a teacher, a coach, a parent, someone who has inspired us, who has turned our lives around and focused in a direction that ultimately benefited to the best that we could have in our life.
That's so powerful. You got so many good sound bites. I love that. That's awesome. Now, we talked about the Jones family, and there have been so many other amazing people as well whose hard work and dedication have made this museum possible, 50 years in the making, long overdue. You and your fellow recipients are a very crucial piece of that. But I'm curious, who else do you believe has been just as essential to making this museum a reality?
Well, the as I say, when you look at someone like the Jones family or the people who they've been associated with who have done so much more for America than we ever did in a few minutes of combat. I'm talking about jobs created, food put on people's plates, the charities, the buildings, everything that they've done. All those people who have donated to this project many, many millions of dollars, that should answer your question.
Yep. Well, that's a good point, too. You bring a lot, like every recipient that we've talked to has always said that the medal is not about them, it's about everything it represents. And that tooth to tail you're talking about, all the people that support, you know, the mission, it's not just one person or one action or one moment in time. So that's a really important thing that people need to remember, too. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Now, you and I, we all spent some time together in November at the site. I've never been to a party in a construction zone before. But
that's right.
It's nice what a little uplighting will do. So that was classy and a live music. But to see where the progress has been since the groundbreaking, there's a lot of emotion that's tied to that. So I want to ask you about the construction. But first, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break to hear from our presenting partner, Lucas Oil.
In the heart of America, where freedom is measured in open roads and spirit in roaring engines, Lucas Oil proudly supports our most decorated heroes. We honor those who answered the call, who served above and beyond the call of duty. From protecting engines to celebrating heroes, Lucas Oil stands as a proud sponsor of the National Medal of Honor Museum. American strength in every mile.
Okay, so we are going to get back to the construction site. Can you talk about where the construction stands? We talked a little bit earlier. You said you can see the building coming up. And what is left to do before March of 2025?
Well, they got to fill out the inside of it. Mm-hmm. They've got to make it interesting for people. You know, it's kind of like if you're a married guy and your wife gets pregnant.
I'm nervous about where this is going.
You're excited about that.
Okay.
And then it goes along, and then you see a change in her as you go down. And then all of a sudden, there's that baby. And all of a sudden, everything that went before that is so insignificant after you see that beautiful baby. And so when we see all that's gone into the construction of this and all the fundraising and all the effort by so many people, and then those incredible builders, the people who are there, who brief us on, you know, the metal has to move so much and this And then it's all of a sudden it's coming out of the ground. Yep. It's just like the birth of a beautiful baby.
I love that. So you're saying the construction zone is pregnant right now?
That's right.
Got it. Baby due in March of 2025.
That's right.
Okay, just making sure. All right. Now, so your story is going to be featured in the museum's exhibition gallery. How does that make you feel to have your story featured? And are there certain parts that you want highlighted? You want to make sure that that part of your story is told?
Well, here's what's important about that. They're going to have their dust-off helicopter ambulance. Now, what's important to me is that my helicopter was named Nancy Lee. That's my wife's name.
Gotcha.
But more important than that, that helicopter represents probably one of the greatest battlefield operating systems in the history of warfare. The helicopter ambulance and dust-off crews in Vietnam rescued almost 1 million people.
Jeez.
Men, women, children, enemy as well as friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hear that story. Now, I wrote about it in my book because nobody has ever heard that story about the life-saving thing that went on there during the battle.
Yep.
We were building hospitals, vaccinating the children, or wells as well as roads and everything,
mm-hmm.
Adopting those children, orphanages, everything. The GI was doing that all while he was fighting.
Wow.
So the humanitarian effort that went on was a great victory in Vietnam, and this section where they will feature me, I guess, more important, they'll feature the Huey helicopter, the Nancy Lee, that will bring to the attention of many, many people the great effort of the warriors in Vietnam who came home and suffered a great deal because of the media coverage of that war.
Yep. Well, that's great. I'm glad. And that was something I wasn't aware of either, all the humanitarian stuff. And again, going back to the value side of valor, I think that's a really important. So I'm excited to see that story told. And I'm excited to see the dust-off helicopter there, too.
Well, when are they putting it in? Do you know?
I don't know.
I thought it was going in February. I'll find out.
All right, we'll find out.
But the real story of dust-off is Charles Kelly.
Yep.
Charles Kelly died, and his death gave birth to dust-off.
Right.
It wouldn't, if he had not died, his dying words, when they told him to get out of a hot area, "When I have your wounded,"
mm-hmm.
set the standard for battlefield evacuation to this day.
Yep.
They still use the call sign dust-off.
Yep.
So his story, he was the greatest hero of the war. We had a lot of Medal of Honor guys from Vietnam, but there was no greater hero because of what he left behind, the life-saving effort in Vietnam that went on through Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yep. When you continued that, didn't somebody throw a bullet at you? They're like you took over, right, the next day?
I've got that with me.
Really?
Yeah, I've got the bullet with me. We're going to do a video tomorrow.
Nice.
And so I'm going to show that. And it will be displayed at the helicopter.
I love that. So real quick, can you tell us the story when someone threw the bullet at you?
Here's what Charles Kelly made a promise to me, that I could come to the Delta and take his place with two aircraft there on 1 July. 1964.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was in a fight with headquarters to save our helicopters. They wanted to put portable Red Crosses on the helicopter and only use them for missions when they put the Red Cross, use them for ash and trash.
Oh, got it.
So, big fight going on. And so he's killed on 1 July.
Mm-hmm.
And so I take his place, and the battalion commander called me in the next day and he said, "Brady, I knew somebody was going to get killed. I didn't think it would be Kelly. I thought it would be one of you young guys.
Mm.
But you got to change the way you fly. First time ever flying at night, landing on the battlefield, etc., all because of Kelly."
Right.
And so I said, "No, you know, we don't know any other way. We're going to do just exactly the way he taught us. That's it."
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't own me. He couldn't order me. And so he couldn't stop us from doing what we had been taught by Kelly.
Yeah.
And as I was walking out, he says, "Oh, by the way, I've got something for you here." And I think as a warning to me, he had the bullet that killed Kelly. It came through the back door, it might have been a sniper, but right through his heart, and it lodged in it was the only bullet that hit the helicopter. And then, of course, the helicopter was destroyed when Kelly died. He twitched and turned, and
mm-hmm.
it went into the ground and beat itself to pieces. But when they were picking up helicopter take about it, they found the bullet in the door on the right side.
Jeez.
And the guy gave it to me, And the family has decided that they want it in the museum, so that's where it's going to be.
Awesome. I didn't realize you still had it, so that's really powerful.
I've had it all these years, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that his story will get told, too.
So. You bet.
So after going through the museum, we're going to see the dust off. We're going to learn about Colonel Kelly and also your story and all the other recipients. What do you hope that visitors will take away?
Well, I hope that they'll take away the lessons that we've been teaching for these 50 years with the character development program. Courage, all right, only one way we're all born equal. Not in terms of ability, not in terms of opportunity, one way, courage. Hmm. You can have all the courage you want. You can't use it up. It's the key to success in life.
Love it.
Sacrifice, love in action. I think it's the key to happiness in life. The capacity of a person's for sacrifice, and we have vignettes of Medal of Honor recipient and actions that bring these things vividly to the mind of the people who are going to be in this museum. Mm-hmm. So sacrifice, I think a person's capacity for sacrifice may be the ultimate measure of human goodness, actually. And then patriotism, great story of Webster Anderson, the guy raised one arm, a kid said, "Mr. Anderson, would you do what you did?" He lost both legs and one arm.
Jeez.
He said, "Would you do what you did, again, knowing what it would cost, two legs and an arm?" Webster raises one good hand and says, "Young man, my country can have this arm anytime they want." Hmm. So those are the lessons that are going to be in there. But the most important thing, we've got vignettes, we've got videos, we've got Medal of Honor people telling these stories that back up courage, key to success in life, sacrifice, key to happiness in life, and patriotism, the key to the future of our country.
Love it. Yeah. I love it. That's awesome. Well, let's get the doors open. Let's get the dust off in there. Let's get the doors open so we can get people
in. I want to see that dust off go in there. they were talking about fitting it in as they were building it, and I just fit it in my butt. I'll fly the damn thing in there.
Nice. So like a ship in a bottle that you have to build a museum around
Yeah.
I love it. General Brady, again, thank you so much for joining us today and for all you do to advance the cause of the National Medal of Honor Museum. Thanks for listening to the Mission Inspire podcast presented by Lucas Oil. This podcast is a production of the National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation. To learn more, just type in mohmuseum.org to get the latest updates and find out how you can help its mission to inspire America. That's it for us today. Please join us next time on the Mission Inspire podcast. Thank you.